Well, now it's recording. There we go. Hello, welcome to the big show. The chances are that what you're hearing out of my mouth has absolutely no relevance to do with the sync that I've got on my lips, because it is unbearably slow at the moment, having put Yo Mama on the production machine. It might have been the worst thing I've ever done, but there we go. We shall see. Every time I click something, there's a massive delay before it actually does it. So I do apologise if things are horribly wrong. If you listened to the Mac Show last week and you want to complain about the audio, there's a queue forming. So if you get to the back of the queue, because I made a right cock above it, but I've worked out the workflow and I'm going to put it right this week. I promise. I do apologise. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, what a panel we have. Is that going to change or not? No, there he goes. Top left, Big Chris Ashley, how you doing, man?
What up, peoples? Glad to be back. Thank you for having me back. I love it. I've been chilling, waiting to get on this thing.
It still hasn't changed the solo shot. There we go. How you doing,
bro? Now it's a party.
Yeah, now it's a party. how are your skins doing this weekend?
Oh, my God. This is the worst weekend for them because they're playing like crap. And then they're playing against the arch rival, Dallas Cowboys. And Dallas is playing ridiculous football right now. Yeah. So that just means my entire week next week is going to be absolutely ruined.
But you got to look on the bright side, dude.
What bright side?
There is one.
I have season ticket.
You're not a Detroit Lions fan.
You know what? Even they're playing better.
Really?
The only bright side is that I have season tickets.
Detroit Lions haven't won anything, have they ever?
They've never won at all, but over the last couple of years they've been significantly better.
Detroit Lions claim to fame is they had Patrick Harrington's cousin as their quarterback for a while.
Oh geez,
that was it. Next to him, Jeff Gamet, fresh back from we appreciate your efforts getting back in time, mate. We have been late starting to make sure that we could get the Gamet in, because it wouldn't be the same without you, pal.
And it's, of course, always awesome to be here. And I'm sorry that I delayed everyone. This is actually my third podcast so far today. Just trying to pack everything in after getting back from a trip.
Oh, mate, we do appreciate you coming on so much. Bronwyn's just said that an hour and 15 minutes later, live stream has just announced our show. So there might be a few people joining us as we go along. Next to Jeff.
Well, I was kind of late to join us, so totally appropriate.
Yeah, there we go. Next to Jeff, it's Kelly G.
Hey, hey.
How's it going, girl? How's you and your eyeliner?
Apparently it was news that I wear makeup to be on the show.
Well, you don't. So. It's very subtle makeup. It's well done subtle makeup. I'm not a great lover of makeup. So.
And I'm not a fan of wearing speckle. So.
Excellent. And you've got lip gloss as well, apparently.
I do indeed.
Woo!
Which all started because we discovered that Jeff was going to be fashionably late. And I said, I hope he shows up because I don't want this to end up being a waste of lip gloss, which was apparently news.
Yeah, but to be fair, the reason that you're up in my estimation is not because you went and got lip gloss. It's because you went and got a beer as well. and last but by no means least, the man who's had the week from hell.
And no eyeliner, no lip gloss or anything.
No eyeliner, no lip gloss. He's lucky he's even got a comprehension of what's gone on in front of him, because you've had a torrid old week, boy, ain't you?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't go into it, but it has been a hell of a week. But I've got 11 days off. Hurrah!
You've done enough this week to make a security podcast, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's been hell, but I've really been... It's been fun, though. I've really enjoyed it. So
yeah, solving problems is good. It always works.
It's like being a doctor, but the doctor.
It's like being a GP.
Yeah. Right. Fingers in all sorts of things.
Easy, boy. Righty the GP. The week in tech, what's going on? Well, if you've got enough money, there's a Kickstarter project that will let you have the Marty McFly hoverboard. Oh, 10K though, if you want it, and you're only going to get 8 minutes of flight time. Now, whether that extends to me or not, or whether it's only for the short asses amongst you, I don't know. But allegedly, 8 minutes of flight time for 10K, if you want to put into the Kickstarter. I think it's fair to say that may be one of the riskier Kickstarters that might be out there. Well, yep. what can I say? We tried to get the board to press against the Earth's gravity. Didn't friggin' work. There we go. there's also been, what was it I was going to say as well? Skype Quickie is out as well this week, which is quite interesting. And last but by no means least, Monica Lewinsky joined Twitter.
Bless her.
If you don't remember, she lists her interests, including patchwork quilting and knitwear without sleeves in it. Which I've got to say, I remember her interest as something slightly different.
Yeah, we love those.
The only thing you can say is that apparently her announcement to joining Twitter was outed by Piers Morgan. So her association with pricks hasn't changed. I've been rehearsing that line all week. Give me a break.
Oh, mate.
The Week in Tech. Who's got a story to bring for us? Come on, people. Give us your story. Give us your story.
Go on, then.
Righty boy. Mr. Afflicted. Go for it.
Little bit of a minute silence for Nokia.
Oh, goodbye. They've gone.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, there's some of them still staying, but it's not the phone bit.
Yeah, but goodbye, because it's all kind of, it's all Lumia now, isn't it?
It's Microsoft Lumia.
Yeah, I mean, it could. But what?
Well, of course that was going to go away. There's no way that Microsoft would have left the whole Nokia name in place for their phones.
So, but what I was going to say is we remember it being so fantastic because we all had Nokia phones.
Yeah.
We all had them, and I've got them here. I've got.
Oh, he's dug out his 3310.
81.
Oh.
I've got them all here. They're all here.
Is that a 3310? No, that's not a 3310. What's that one?
That's your left hand. 7210 and an 8130.
Have you got the flip?
But we remember them being so good. You know, when mobile phones came out, they were so good. You know, we all had Nokias, didn't we? Tell me anyone who didn't have a Nokia.
I think
everybody had a Nokia phone at one point, that's for sure. But
exactly. So it's kind of a really sad kind of turnaround, really, that name's going away, because I think when they sell the, what is the Lumia, people aren't going to know what that is. Nokia is a really powerful name. And when you go into a phone store, and you go, well, they're all Lumias now.
Their phone business has been struggling for quite some time.
Yeah, but it's just a shame that the Nokia name's going away, really. And it's just a shame that they were so good for so long, and did such a good job. And what is everyone's kind of favorite memories of Nokia phones?
I don't have a favorite memory from Nokia.
You know, my favorite memory.
I'm not attached to that game as much as most are. I mean, I'll never forget my Nokia cell phone it was the black one with the built-in antenna that you could pull up with the green screen with the volume meter on the left-hand side and the signal meter on the right-hand side. You know, that's old school as it gets. But, you know, BlackBerry, they didn't innovate. You know, Apple and Android came through and not only ate their lunch, just took their whole refrigerator.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say, actually, I'm not taking the piss here, Righty, but what's your favorite memory of Nokia? And I thought of a phone and then I remembered it was actually a Sony Ericsson.
That's awesome.
No.
I'm sorry,
no,
pal.
You bastard.
I'm so sorry. I had the one as well. You remember the one that was in The Matrix?
No, there was a Nokia 7110 was the Nokia phone that went and had the little slide thing as well.
That was in The Matrix. I had one of those, but actually the best phone I ever, I was thinking back to 2000. I was thinking the best phone I've ever owned was that little Nokia that had, was a Sony Ericsson T61.
But the best thing about the Nokia phone that I remember is WAP. Remember WAP on your phone?
Yeah.
WAP.
Wide Access Protocol, wasn't it? Or something?
Yeah. Give it a WAP.
And what did WAP gave you? Web pages. But only text, wasn't it?
It was. Yep. But
It was the first mobile.
This is sad. It is sad in a way that we, all of us here, grew up with the kind of mobile kind of technology and all that sort of thing. And I think the Nokia name going away is a really kind of sad day. It really is, because that's where a lot of us started, especially in the UK, because if you had a Nokia phone, that was kind of like the same as having an Apple phone.
It was at the time. No, absolutely. And then I got to say, what's the, which was the Nokia that was like a gold brick, and it was almost like a PDA, and you had a proper keyboard on it.
Oh,
I can't remember which one that was.
Wasn't the Engage, was it?
I want to say the 60 something or other. It was the number. I can't remember it, but I had that. And that was the first time that I'd gone to an interface where I kind of went, no, I don't like this. And Motorola at the time, they had the Razer interface, and I hated that. I thought it was an awful operating system. And Symbian was a disgusting piece of crap for most of the time that it was out there. So
I don't know what that is. I've got this. Oh, love this. Look at that. That is a beautiful little phone.
That's
old school right there.
That's got a jewel on it, dude. That looks not. You look gay.
Oh, with that. I've been crazy.
Why is that a pocket jewel? Is that your daughter's? Which one's that one?
The Crazer?
The Razer V3. Carrie Altman will give you $100 for that, mate, right now.
Exactly. I'm in the money.
he's got a supply of Razer V3s in his cupboard.
I guess I'm not as sad because I'm anticipating the next, I have the Lumia 1520, and it's probably the greatest Windows phone to date, but I'm already ready to move on to the next hotness. So I guess that's why I'm not showing, I don't have any remorse for Nokia. I love the technology they brought. The camera technology they brought to these phones are ridiculous, but I'm ready for the new hotness. I'm ready to move forward.
So, am I old that Nokia phones weren't great in the day?
No, in their time, they really were. And there are probably people who have yet to go smartphone who are still using one of those little squatty rectangular Nokias with the slightly curved buttons at the top around the screen that I can't remember the model of right now, or I would just tell you which one it is. And
33K.
They were bulletproof phones, like drop it, throw it in your backpack with your keys and whatever else, ain't no thing, because your phone will be fine. And that's like the only phone that I can think of that really, it wasn't so much that it had a reputation for being bulletproof as it just was. It was just a thing that you knew. It wasn't like, oh, I need that one because it's got all this. But no, it was just everybody had one because it wouldn't die.
Yeah, but the battery life was forever.
They do die now, though. They die.
Well, that's because they had nickel cadmium batteries in, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they won't take a charge anymore, and they're knackered.
But aren't you sad?
Yeah, well, no, I get what you're saying. What you're saying is it was a brand. It was a huge brand. It was seminal in terms of some of the phones that it laid out there as being earth-shattering, like the WAP and that kind of stuff. But it had its day, mate. It's fallen under the meteor that was iPhone, and there's been a plume of cloud that's gone up into the atmosphere around Nokia, and they're all choking to death on it now.
Yeah, I just hate the fact that that a lot of people are blaming Microsoft for the death of Nokia, and it's like that platform was burning long ago.
Well, Nokia always did great stuff. I went to the launch of the Nokia Ovi system when that was out, and they did some fantastic stuff. And that's the one thing that they've kept as Nokia is the mapping system. And Nokia Ovi, the guy was there, and he said, we've got the Nokia Ovi system, have at it. And there were people like, so you're saying all the Ovi maps are available for free? He said, yeah, they're all available for free. So what if I want to take your Ovi map and I want to do this with it? Go ahead. It's fine by us. And they were one of the first companies that actually got the idea of open sourcing your database so that other people could use it and make more from it. And everyone goes on about, oh, you know, Apple's really smart because what they do is they create this platform and then they let the developers create the cool shit that goes on it. But actually, Nokia Ovi did that long, long before the iPhone even came out.
Yeah.
But it's gone.
And that's the, I mean, that's the future of their business now, right? Mapping and whatever, car technology.
Well, they were the first ones to do walking routes. They were the first people to do walking routes as opposed to just driving routes on sat-navs.
So, Ewan, as a Windows Phone user, is Windows Phone a decent way to go?
I think, I mean, Chris is the one to jump in on this one, definitely. But from my viewpoint, it is a Windows Phone at the front end. You're looking at a Windows OS, and it makes more sense to have a Windows handset than it just have a Nokia handset and have that divergence of, am I using Windows or am I using Nokia? No, you're using Windows all the way through because they own Nokia. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense for them to do that because you see with Windows, with the if you've been seeing any of their news reports, they're consolidating all their properties as far as Windows concerned. Not going to be Windows, you know, Phone anymore, and Windows this and what. It's just going to be Windows. And hence the reason they skipped up to Windows 10, at least that's what they say. But the idea is it's going to have that one underlying kernel. And so it just makes sense to kind of rein these things in a little bit because, you know, it's one thing that Microsoft has traditionally been terrible at is naming. So if they can just get down to something a lot more simpler, I'm down with that. So it makes sense. And if Nokia... going back to make the decision, should they have gone Android or should they have gone Windows Phone? If you just look at the way this landscape has played out, the only really super successful Android manufacturer is Samsung, and they're losing money hand over fist right now. So I think Nokia made the right move going with Windows Phone because they came in here and they became the number one phone manufacturer when it was Samsung.
I think here's a question, and this is genuinely an open question. You look at the Windows Phone platform and you look at the Nokia phone platform. It is not a phone platform which is dismissible as being junk or as being Fisher Price or as being something which is not making inroads and being innovative. Having used a Windows Phone for 18 months, I can tell you that the Windows Phone, as far as the camera system goes, is still better than the iPhone. Although the video is significantly better on the iPhone, the stills are significantly better on the 1020. So it's not a dismissible platform in the same way that some of the Android stuff is. And okay. I think, is that due to Microsoft or is that due to Nokia? That's my question.
Well, can you do your day-to-day stuff on your Windows Phone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, without question. Especially if you work with Outlook and Office, forget it. I would argue to say that the mail client on Windows Phone is better than any other mail client right now on a mobile device. It's just damn good.
It sounds good.
And then the ability then beyond that to I tell a story often when I was presenting in Vegas for a conference, and I had my PowerPoint slide and I noticed a mistake, but I had already submitted my computer to be set up by the guys who, you know, the AV guys. So I whipped out my phone, edited the document on my phone. It synced. It was a PowerPoint. I edited it on my phone. It synced up to OneDrive and then down to my laptop. So when I got up on the podium to present, the information that I updated was updated, and I just did that from my phone. You know what I mean? So the ecosystem as far as day-to-day.
But you could do that awesome. On iOS and Android as well.
Which you would get on iOS, yes, absolutely. And
yeah, sure. It's not a question. You know, it's not, is it better than the other ones? You know what I mean? Because that's debatable depending on what you do. But if you're talking about, can you handle your day-to-day on a Windows phone? Absolutely, you can do day-to-day. Yeah.
See, the thing that would say is my question was about whether, it's a credible comparison in the phone marketplace. And is that due to Microsoft or is that due to Nokia? And there's a question, the answer in the chat room from someone in Windows says, the hardware is great. So he's pointing clearly at Nokia, saying Nokia is responsible for that greatness because of the hardware.
Well, everyone said that if you could give the kind of Windows Phone hardware to an Android device, it would flock to it, even thinking about it. But is the operating system enough Because you've moved from iOS to Windows Phone. Is it enough for you? The day-to-day stuff. Because you just bought an iPhone 6.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I was very happy with my Windows Phone 10, Windows Phone 1020, and I can't change the screen here for some reason. I don't know why. There we go. I'm equally happy with iOS, and I've got the thing I've really noticed is the fact going back to iOS. There's a lot of stuff with iOS I really didn't miss when I went to Windows Phone, and it was kind of like Windows Phone does this significantly better. But now I've gone down to iOS 8. There's some stuff that's clearly better done in iOS, but not as well done in other areas. So I'm sitting looking at it going, well, you know, this does this better, but this doesn't. This does this better, but this doesn't. And I'd like the two of them meshed together. And I'd like them to learn from each other, but that's never going to happen.
And that's why I said I said this on the last time we were on. I'm done with the, oh, well, they stole this feature. They just stole that feature. At the end of the day, if iOS comes out with something, if Apple comes out with something for iOS, that's also like this whole new pay system they got. I absolutely want a pay system on Windows Phone, and I hope they copy it and do whatever they did and make it work well, because I want it. So why wouldn't I just, I don't care. And if there's an awesome feature, you see both the operating systems, Android and iOS, starting to flatten out their user interfaces. You know, Windows Phone started out with a flat user interface. For me, when I talk to somebody about recommending a phone, I don't automatically recommend a Windows Phone, because I always like to ask what their day-to-days are and what they do and what they don't do. But what I hate when I read a review of a Windows Phone device from like, oh, here's my suffering for switching to Windows Phone for 1 week. And they're like, oh, I couldn't do Gmail. I couldn't do Google Maps. And it's like, okay, there are the Nokia mapping software is awesome. So instead of
the best,
looking for ways to, for me, if I switch to an Android device, I'm not going to be looking to say, how can I replicate exactly what I do on my Windows Phone on this Android? I'm going to say, how can I do my day to day on this phone? Which is the question you're asking. You know what I mean? And there's no question, no doubt, anybody who uses a Windows Phone could absolutely get their day to days done. No doubt about it.
Jeff and Kelly, I mean, as Windows writers, as Apple writers generally, I mean, again, you don't dismiss the Windows Phone particularly easily anymore. Is the credibility down to Microsoft or the credibility down to Nokia?
Well, for me, at least, it depends on what you're talking about, primarily because I agree that Nokia makes really great hardware. For me, I haven't spent a whole lot of time playing with a Windows Phone, but the time that I have spent, it still seemed a little rough around the edges. And I think overall, it's a good experience. I think, like Chris was talking about, having the right tool for the job, you also have to consider the rest of the environment. So if you're talking to somebody who has an Xbox, whatever vintage of Xbox that they have, and they have two Windows machines and a Surface, recommending an iPhone to that person may not be the best idea. But if maybe a Windows machine, because the integration is much better when everything comes from the same place. So if somebody has an iPad and a Windows machine, but they don't use the Windows machine that much because they do a lot of their stuff on the iPad, then it might make an iPhone a compelling argument. So you just have to find like what's going to play nice with everything else. And hopefully those things happen. And like Chris was talking about copying Apple Pay, I have the same opinion. I always want Windows Phone to be an awesome operating system. I always want Android stuff to look good and work really well and be a good experience. I want iOS to be great. And I want all of those things because I want everybody to have to compete. So right now, it sort of seems like everybody is trying to get up to the user experience that you get from an Apple device. Once everything sort of settles into that place and we get there.
I don't know what Windows was. And that's the beauty of it. That's what the appeal of it was. I don't think it is trying to be iOS.
It's trying to give you a good user experience. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the nuts and bolts.
Their goal from day one was to come in between what iOS and what Apple was doing with iOS and what Google is doing with Android, which is they wanted it to be a bit more open for folks to do things, but they also wanted it to have that crisp, solid, clean user interface where things work as expected. And, you know, you, mm-hmm. you know, Android's getting better.
And when I
first
used it, it didn't do that.
What's that?
And so it's when I first was trying out Windows Phone, it wasn't like that very well. You couldn't tell what was going to happen when you hit stuff. And now it's gotten a lot better. And Microsoft is really invested in their flavor of user experience and making that as good as they possibly can. Android is the same thing. Android is invested in having a good user experience. Everybody is.
Let's let Jeff have a say, because he opened his mouth to talk and he hasn't had a chance since. No one's breathed.
Well, for me, that's the thing, is everybody wants to have a good user experience. It's just that Apple nailed it a lot sooner than everyone else did. Mm. That doesn't mean they all have to look the same, but I always want them all to be better. I want them all to be able to compete with each other and give people a bunch of different options for how to do their day-to-day on a mobile device. I think that would be fantastic.
Well said, Jeff. Jeff. Sorry. Jeff.
Kelly's the short one.
Sorry, man.
So anyhow, when I look at the whole Windows on the Phone thing, iOS and Android, I don't want them to be the same. I'm okay that they steal features from each other because everyone is working to make better products all the way around. And I like the idea of Microsoft developing a mobile operating system that looks radically different from what we're getting from iOS or from Android. And I also like the idea of what Kelly was saying about the competition, because that's good for all of us. And I hope that Microsoft can keep their focus on creating a unique mobile experience that really gives people something different and unique so that it's easier for people to see that they have a choice on their smartphone, and that it makes it easier for people to figure out which of these devices is the right one for them.
Yeah. I think there's a good point there from Mark in the chat room. He says, I don't care what you like. It's if you like it, use it. So fair enough.
Exactly.
Windrider says, Here Maps and Navigator are superb. And Jufro Jim agrees. He said, I'd love Here Maps in my car, please, if that's possible. Which you can do, but I agree what he means. It's like you'd like it within a housing within your car rather than...
And there's a lot of... You know, unfortunately for Microsoft, I talk about this a lot. They don't have the luxury as far as the tech press is concerned that an Apple or a Google get. You know, they were hated. They've been hated for years, you know, everybody loves to tear down whoever was at top at any point, and they don't have the luxury. So I give them a hard time when they come out the gate and they do something wrong, because they have to know you don't have the side of the press. You know, Apple's had two gigantic negative stories. I don't want to say gigantic. They've had two negative stories, in my opinion, that I thought were important, but I also felt that by the weekend they would be gone, and you haven't heard anything since. One of them being, you know, how that company publication came out and did the video about the bending the iPhones, and then they get a message saying you're no longer going to be invited to our early release press event. You're not going to get devices from us anymore. And I was like, how can anybody trust a iPhone review if they know that people are scared to death to be kicked out of Apple's program? If they have a negative review.
I said on last week's Mac show that Mossberg was a kiss ass, and I got so many mails saying that what Mossberg's a respected journalist, and I totally agree, he's a good journalist, but there's a certain element to what Mossberg writes that makes me think, you're just kissing ass. And that's the problem. I may be doing him an incredible disservice there. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But I cannot get away from the fact that he does nothing else but glorify Apple. And that's not a journalist. A journalist is someone who is brutal and objective and doesn't hold an editorial camp. The editor does that, not the journalist. And I struggle. I really struggle with Mossberg.
You know, that the German site that got cut off.
Yeah.
There's something to this story we don't know, because Apple, their modus operandi, they don't call you and say, wow, you really screwed up by doing this and we're cutting you off and we think you're jerks and now you don't get to come to media events and you're not going to get review units. Apple's way is they just cut you off. There's no word about it.
Remember, they didn't send They didn't send Gizmodo a sternly worded letter. They just stopped inviting them to stuff.
Right. Yeah, well, so, I, yeah. And, so and that's
they,
what Apple does.
From the just, story, the guy, cut you off and you're probably you right. You know what I mean? There might be more to it, but he, you know, he posted his response to them and it was a local, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't from Carpentino, the message came, you know, the, from the, from what I read, it came from a local affiliate, you know, from Apple. So
then that affiliate person has been fired.
Yes.
Hopefully. Yeah, but they never came out with an official response to that either. They don't care. But, you know, but either way, to me, it's not the biggest deal in the world because at the end of the day, you know, you read a review and you're either going to trust it or you're not going to trust it. People got to have more common sense these days. But my point was, I thought from a tech standpoint, that was a bigger deal that this could even, that, you know, there's other, you know, you mentioned Gizmodo. They're famous for whatever running they had with Apple and,
what's they were the ones that took the prototype iPhone and offered to sell it back to Apple.
Yeah. Oh, right. And then the prototype, and, which was crappy. I'm not going to say that, but you know, yeah, but what's it called from Twitter? You know, he's banned from Apple too.
Yeah, yeah. Leo's.
You know, the getting banned from Apple thing. This isn't new.
No, and it's
sadly, it's not hardly even news. I mean, even I was banned from Apple for a while because they got pissed off at me. And in that case, I actually got a phone call and they're like, hey, we don't like what you wrote. We want you to change the wording to this. And I came back and I said, well, you know, that's a pretty big change and I need proof to go along with it. And then I'm totally cool doing that. And they're like, yeah, we'll get back to you, and just hung up. And the next thing you know, I'm getting denied invites media badges for Macworld. I can't go to their special events. And
but that's exactly what I'm talking about. How is that right? You have a responsibility to the folks you're talking to be honest. If people have respect your opinion because you're honest,
I think,
and now you know because of your honesty, you know you have to now worry that if you write something that somebody there at the powers to be don't like, that they may ask you to edit it. Now it's not true anymore. That's silliness to me that no one finds that to be a big deal.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that that there are people that bow to that pressure. I don't think Apple is alone in this respect. I think there's PR agencies for other companies that they try and pressure media into saying what they want to hear.
And there's the point.
The important thing is that those of us that are writing this content, that we just continue to do what we know is right. And while I was like, geez, this is really stupid that I'm banned from going to Apple events and that eventually ended. But I was banned for a while.
God, that's terrible. That's terrible. But to work under those parameters,
and I did what I knew was right. And I like to think that other people are doing the same thing. And if that means that there's a company that I piss off and they don't want to talk to me anymore, okay, fine. At least I did the right thing.
No, I think that was very much the case under Jobs. I think there was a policy that was followed through by other people and seen as the direction that Apple were going to take. I think Apple are more sensitive to their failings and they are more respondent to things that they're criticized for. Hence the comments of Frederiki about putting the camera roll back and that kind of stuff at the keynote the other week.
That's true. With Tim running the show and with Katie Cotton retired, the way Apple handles the media and their publicity in general, I think is going through a major transition for the better.
There's absolutely a fundamental shift happening right now.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. But I said all that to say this, Microsoft doesn't get those breaks. You know what I mean? So they got anything they come out with, they got to come out the gate 110, you know, they can't soft shell it, you know? And so talking about, you know, the operating system or Nokia building devices, I truly believe it was a combination because there's no doubt every single Lumia device I've had, I have loved. The device was sturdy. The screens were great. The speed of the phone was great. And then, you know, I'm a fan of the Windows phone operating system. I thought it flowed great. And most people that I put on, like put my mom on the phone, who is no tech genius by any sense of the imagination, my mother-in-law, they picked up the flow. I think coming from another operating system, you may not pick up the flow of the OS quite well. I always have trouble when I go back to an iOS device because the way you go back, you know, is kind of weird for me. But anyway, the point is that I think they did a great job working together. Where they didn't work together was the initial release of the cameras. So they were the camera, even though they take wonderful pictures, it's slower than it should be. And I think that's a direct result of them developing this camera technology without involving Microsoft, because had they worked together, Microsoft could have put things into the operating system to make sure whatever resources or whatever bottlenecks there are between the camera operating and the phone would have been smoothed out. And I fully expect to see a significant improvement in the camera functionality, you know, in the devices going forward.
Absolutely right. Good story. Well done, Wrighty. Thank you very much, mate. Are you all right, buddy? Do you need to go and get a coffee?
Yeah.
Who's next?
I got something I want to talk about. I usually go last, but I'm going to go now because I'm excited about this. And it's a little bit to do with tech, and it's a little bit to do with lifestyle. And, you know, HBO recently announced that next year they're going to start their paid streaming service. You guys familiar with this one?
Now, this is not Go, though, is it? It's not the same.
No.
Go. There's some differences.
No, it's not Go. Go, for the uninitiated, HBO Go is basically if you have HBO's service that you're paying for now through a cable operator or DirecTV or whatever it is, then you can log in with that same account and watch the same show, whatever programming that HBO
watch stuff
provides.
On demand. Yeah.
Yeah.
On a tablet demand. Or an Apple TV or whatever other box you've got hooked up to your television.
Exactly. What they're talking about launching next year is a completely separate streaming service where they haven't announced the price yet, but it's almost like their own version of Netflix, but with their own content. Now, this to me is absolutely awesome and fascinating that it's HBO to take the step, the first plunge, because there are a lot of people who are looking to cut the cord and get rid of these cable companies out of their house. I, for one, have just last week canceled my DirecTV service. I've been with DirecTV for 15 years, and wow. I canceled the service last week. And changed up how I'm consuming content now. So I find this amazing. I'm just wondering, you know, is do you guys find this type of thing to be a big a deal as I do?
Let me tell you why I think it's a very big deal. I think it's a very big deal because not too long after they released HBO Go and made it so that if you had a TV provider subscription that included HBO, you could watch basically. The killer app at the time was you can watch HBO on your iPad. Mm-hmm. So not too long after they released it, I started calling customer feedback, whatever the customer service number is for HBO, about once a month and saying, hi, I want to be able to give you money for HBO Go directly. I don't want to pay Comcast any more money than I'm already paying them. Please make it so I can give that money to you. And they would say, thank you very much. And they would write down, sometimes they wrote down, you know, my zip code or whatever. And then they would bid me good day and I would hang up. And then about a month later, maybe a month and a half later, I would call again. And I've been doing this and doing this and doing this. And now I get my way.
You've been writing in for a long time.
I just think as the more persistent. People are consuming this content on iPads and any other tablets, and you know, this a lot of I find this to be awesome and fascinating. Where are the rest of you Apple guys at?
Well,
I'm excited about this. I can't friggin' wait.
Well, no, don't forget today's a big day because today was Amazon Fire TV box delivery. Mine's gone to my parents. Paul Wheatley's got his, but he hasn't got his game controller through yet. But he did order that separately, I have to say, whereas I ordered both of mine together. So maybe both are at my parents. So I was going to do an unboxing tonight, but I haven't done it. The box element of TV is becoming quite big. You know, the kind of the Roku, the Boxy, the Apple TV, now the Amazon Fire. So providing a channel to watch is the way to go, it would seem, for an awful lot of TV providers. And a lot of them still just want stupid money. I mean, I looked at Blacklist And I can watch, it's, the UK is brilliant at the moment, because if you've got Sky TV, you can watch box sets, so you can watch everything that's gone on season one of Blacklist on the catch-up for the box set, plus also you've got season catch-up on the normal TV for season nice. Two, so you haven't got to worry about anything like that. But you go to Apple TV, you've got to buy season one, and it's still, even though it's season one, it's still £30. It's $50 to buy season one of The Blacklist. When I can get it as part of my deal on Sky, never going to happen. But Go, HBO have got this, clearly, I think, have got a better ideology of how they want to distribute their material. But I don't know whether there's a problem that, whether they're the problem or whether there's content deals with other providers like Comcast, etc., where they're locked in.
I think
in.
That's where the problem is.
They're locked
that's
in the and issue. They can't give it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. They're locked. The carriers have 100%. Locked in the networks or the content creators. And by doing so, they've been able to block Apple with Apple TV and other companies too, and Netflix, from having all this content that they would otherwise be able to give to us.
And that's the thing that's really disappointing, is that they don't understand that if I were allowed to watch directly, if I were allowed to watch on my Apple TV whenever I wanted to, if I had an HBO Go for one of these other style, you know, offering from any of these other content providers, I would watch more. I would be more interested. I would be doing, you know, I'll talk about the show. I'll get more people watching the show, people. And then, you know, maybe sometimes I will watch it live. Like what happened for me, in one specific instance was, which show was it? It was Breaking Bad. I knew a lot of people who were really excited about watching Breaking Bad. I didn't really know anything about watching about the show or anything like that. I just knew a bunch of people who waved their hands and got really excited anytime anybody said anything near them that sounded like it could be Breaking Bad. And so somebody finally convinced me to watch it. I started watching the show, and I watched the first three seasons on Netflix because there were three seasons there. So I watched three seasons on Netflix. And since there was still television to come, I was able to watch season four and season five live, you know, season passed them on the TiVo with the ads and the whole thing. And I got into the show and I talked about the show. And like, you know, I know at least a few people who picked up DVD box sets instead because they really wanted, this was something they wanted to go back and watch again. So, you know, there's money to be made there, and it could happen. It's just that these guys don't understand it. And the reason that the content provider being the hurdle is so frustrating to me is because let's take Universal, for example. Universal is also a record label. And they make movies.
They are?
Yeah. Universal Music.
Give me
Universal
a band.
Music Group, UMG.
Name a band. Name a band that's on Universal record label.
I don't know anybody who's on any record label. The only, like, I know Duran Duran is on Capitol Records, and I know that the Pet Shop Boys are on Parlophone, and Depeche Mode is on Mute, and that's all I know, and two of those are in the UK. So,
I think Righty's fallen asleep and headbutting the keyboard.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
All I can say in Righty's defense is I know he's had the week from frigging hell. And the chat has been taking the piss out of him, so he was going to headbutt the microphone a minute, but I think he's got, I think he's hit the Skype.
Oh no.
Righty, we love you, mate. If you feel up to coming back, then come for it. Otherwise, go to bed, dude. Go to bed.
Seriously.
Poor guy.
The chat has been taking the piss out of him to bit rotten the last few minutes. I think he's had the week from hell, and I think he's had a couple of drinks tonight just to relax. He's on holiday as well now for the next 10 days, so there you go.
Which is fantastic.
Love you, Righty. Have a good sleep, dude.
Yeah, I guess my main thing is that I love about this is back in the day, the way these companies got you onto their services was, we have 500 channels and we have 600 channels. And just slowly over the years, I start to say, man, I only watch 8 channels, 8 or 9 tops.
Yeah.
And I did the math and I said, if I, unfortunately, and I don't know if they've done this over in the UK, but here, it used to be that the cable company was required to broadcast local channels unencrypted over their cable wire to your house. So you could just plug in your cable wire and you get your TV shows. Recently, this law was passed that allowed them to encrypt these channels now. So they're allowed to, and so they cited, they lobbied our government to allow them to do that. And they cited security reasons that this needed to be done. And then, of course, as soon as the law got passed, they started charging $25 for local channels. Now, unfortunately for me, I live in an area where I can't get these local channels over the antenna. So I had to do this as part of my plan to kind of, so I didn't quite cut the cable. I say I splintered the cable, but I'm still $25 a month versus the $111 I was paying a month. Plus, you know, whenever a show like Game of Thrones would come on, I'd have to add HBO back. And so yeah, I was paying upwards on average, probably about $120, $130 a month. And now I'm down to $40 because I pay for TiVo service for $14. So I'm still significantly better off. But what I said is I can still, with all the money I'm saving, even if I was to buy the shows that I like outright, I'm still coming in way less than what I was paying the cable company. So, and that's just me trying to get the shows that I want and not pay for stuff that I don't use. And so I'm very happy and excited about this HBO thing.
I think so too. I mean, the one thing that I want to see is HBO on this side of the frigging pond. If you're watching HBO, which I probably you're not, but stop with all this US only shit.
Please.
Oh, sorry. Please. There we go. Kelly's reminding me of my manners.
I'm lobbying for you. Stop the UK only shit.
Please.
What are you talking about? You all
please.
You get.
I'm on your side. I'm
you
on your
get
side.
Freaking Doctor Who an hour after us.
An hour.
An hour.
It's like okay, we're living in the dark ages.
But here's the thing that I'm trying to get to before Paul napped out on us. The thing I'm trying to get to is that most of the companies that hold video content are also in the music business in some fashion or another. And so I don't understand why they didn't learn all of these lessons 10 years ago, figure it out and go, you know, at least we're still making money on music now that we've finally lightened up and let Apple sell our music a track at a time. Now that this is a thing, at least we're still able to make money on the music instead of presuming that everybody is stealing it. And the reason that happened is because Apple made it easier for me to buy a song than to steal one. That's what happened.
Unless it's the blacklist and it's £30 for a frigging series. 40,
I said song.
No, I know, but it's
and that's the reason I don't understand.
Have you noticed? I mean, you've got to say, this is my question. Have you noticed that an awful lot of stuff is creeping up in price on Apple TV? You could buy a season for about £12 a couple of years ago. And now
that would be the content creators.
Exactly.
Driving their prices.
And now they've realized that they can get a bit more. So they're creeping up and up and up and up. And you're up to £30 for a series now. It's gone from effectively probably no more than about $18 to $20 for a complete series of a show. And it's now up to over $1 an episode, or over £1 an episode for it.
Yeah, what I did is I made a list of all the shows that I watch, and then in that list I said, where can I get these shows from? And then ultimately I said, if I have to buy the show, how much does it cost in HD and how much does it cost in standard definition? Because in my opinion, not every single show do I need to see in HD. Like a comedy, I don't really need to see it in HD. I can see the slapstick and the punch to the face and the rib kicks. Mm-hmm. No problem. You know, so I'm not going to buy. So that's another tip that I have that I've come across in this whole venture I've been doing is, you know, and I get you because I do certainly see like, I think it was Walking Dead. If you bought a season, it's like $47. And you're like, come on, stop it. You know, I'll wait for it to come on Netflix if you're going to charge $47. You know, for the season, that's ridiculous. And so for me, it's just that's my thing. It's like, do I wait for it to come on Netflix or do I really need to watch it while it's on, because I want to, you know, that's a show like a Game of Thrones. I was prepared. Yeah, I wish they sold it while it's on. But now that they've offering this new service, I can get it and watch it on my, hopefully I'll be able to watch it on my Xbox, watch it on, you know, watch it on my PC, or, you know, watch it wherever. So I'm really excited about this, and I'm glad that, you know, CBS turned around and did the same thing and said they're going to offer a service. So,
And they've announced pricing and availability too. So they like one-upped HBO. CBS talked about pricing. I don't remember what it was, but they talked about what it was going
to
cost.
But do you trust them to deliver
it? $4.99 a month, and you can do it today.
But do you trust them to deliver it?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Because
they cited that there's like, I think it was 10 million users in this that have internet but don't have cable service. And that's an untapped area that they want to get to. I think the number was 10 million. I'll have to look up to see what they said, but they anticipate to being able to get a ton of money out of this.
Yeah, and their mobile app sucks out loud. I mean, it's so bad. So I was really glad to see that they were like actually going to offer an honest to God service. I was really pleased with that. So I really hope that it turns out to be awesome. I don't necessarily need it.
Because I have like cable. You necessarily think it will.
Well, I have cable still, but somebody like Jeff, who cut the cord a long time ago, and somebody like Chris, who has recently cut the cord, people who don't have another outlet for that stuff, it's really awesome that now there is a choice. Because if you bought four channels, okay, whatever the four channels are, and let's up the whole thing to $10 each. For $10 each channel per month, that's $40. And $40 is so much cheaper than most cable. So most TV services, and you know, a lot of people, like when you get down to it, probably really only watch one channel or four channels and then maybe a show here and there. Like a lot of people don't necessarily turn on a channel just for the sake of watching whatever's on that channel. And some of that stuff, you know, you can get for free. Like PBS is something that is generally a free thing. A lot of their stuff has been available on their website and through their app for a long time. So, you know, public broadcasting, that's a free one. That's a place you can, you know, I know a number of people who will turn that on because it's always going to be something mildly interesting. But most people don't just turn on a channel. A lot of people watch a show. Like, I don't really watch, not me, but I don't really watch BBC America. I watch Doctor Who. I don't really watch NBC. I watch The Blacklist. So, you know, with a couple of, even if you bought a couple of strategic season passes here and there, you would still end up coming out way cheaper than cable. And when cable providers figure this out, then it's going to be something where maybe they're going to figure out that unbundling some of that stuff would be a good idea, as opposed to what they do now, which is the standoffs and go, if you live in a part of the world where you don't get AMC anymore, then you should call your cable provider and tell them you're mad. You can't get Mad Men now. And because that happens here, and it's stupid.
It's a bit Wild West, I have to say, because it's the Wild West, of course. The chat room is chipping in. Hyper says The Wire, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, greatest TV era, which are HBO, but I think Breaking Bad was ANC. I don't think it was HBO.
Yeah, it wasn't HBO.
No.
Breaking Bad was AMC.
Swamp Rat says the CBS service is already available. So there you go.
You can get it now, $5 a month.
Mark Shepard says you're treated like a criminal to buy only internet service from the cable company if you try.
You are.
I buy my internet from a small local DSL provider who doesn't have a TV division, says Swamp Rat. And he says he doesn't have cable, so therefore he has to get it on PBS. So it's a year for him to wait for Doctor Who, whereas Wind Rider says they get Doctor Who 1 minute after it's finished in the UK.
Oh, jeez.
Got to piss you off. Absolutely no end. Kelly G, what story did you bring?
I have one that I think is interesting, and that is, and to me, it's interesting for a number of reasons, and it comes from public broadcasting. The Vatican has digitized a bunch of really old documentation that it has, and it's put them online for free. And I think this is really interesting because a lot of what they have is really, really, really old. And so it's interesting to get to see some of this stuff, you know, and a lot of people for the first time, because the Apostolic Library is not necessarily a place people will just go and hang out and get the chance to see some of this stuff. So putting it out on the web and making it something that's available to people means that a whole lot of people who wouldn't necessarily have gotten to see some of this stuff are going to get the opportunity. And it's not done. They're working on it, but they're talking about something like it was millions of pages, 30, maybe 40 million pages, 40 million pages. And this is interesting to me for a bunch of reasons. Number one, there's a lot of stuff, like I said, that people aren't going to get the opportunity to see. It is really hard for a regular person, even if you're Catholic, it's really hard to get access to the Apostolic Library. And number three, this is one of those things that it's always sort of surprising when a religious organization sort of acknowledges that they are part of the modern world, like putting something out on the web for people. So I think that this is a really interesting thing, and I can't wait to see how it all turns out. 'Cause this is one of those libraries where, like, it's temperature controlled and only certain people are allowed in, and of the people allowed in, only certain people are allowed to, like, actually handle the books and the documents that are in there, and they have to wear gloves and all this kind of stuff. So
I've watched the Da Vinci Code.
So I think that this is cool. I'm excited to see what all they have in the Apostolic Library that we will be able to get to take a look at.
Are they going to let out all the conspiracy stuff and all the cool stuff, or are they just going to let out all the namby-pamby stuff that no one's interested in? That's what I want to know. I want to know what they really did to Galileo.
Well, that I don't know. They're actually
Can't bring that story and not bring us some juicy bits, mate.
Well, so far it's just an announcement, and there are a certain number of ones online. A lot of it is probably stuff that isn't very interesting. A lot of it is stuff, you know, that's not in English. You know, it may even be in, you know, Latin. Dead languages. So some of that stuff isn't going to be very, very interesting or easy to read or anything like that. And some of it's going to be scans of stuff that sort of looks like the Canterbury Tales. You know, it's like lots of tall, pointy script and then a picture and then, you know, so, I'm not sure what all is going to be in it that they're going to talk about, but I can't wait to see what it ends up being. So
Windrider says there are 43 petabytes of information.
That's a lot of data.
In Word. Is that is that one PDF? That's just one.
So it's like 12 songs, documents. That's what I'd like to see.
It's that's one PDF with no graphics. About 2 million years of reading there. There'll be a secret in that. I'm sorry, Kelly. The only thing I'm going to call BS on that is you can't bring that story and then come out with some juicy stuff. Someone has to have flicked through this and got some juicy stuff. Come on.
Are you right Catholic now? It's just that they've. Them? Well, like I said, they've announced that they're doing it. Only a few that are available now. So obviously, right now, nothing that's available is any of the good stuff.
Are you allowed to watch it if you're not called Robert Langdon?
Yes.
Especially, gosh. Excellent. That's a good story. I mean, I think the thing with the Catholic Church stuff and all that documentation is you want to see some stuff that's kind of like, well, I never knew that. The Knights Templar thing and all that kind of stuff where they slaughtered them all on one night and that kind of thing. You want all of that kind of documentation to come out. Not an old version of the Bible that someone wrote.
Yeah, the Klingon translation of the Bible isn't the one that I'm necessarily super excited about.
Is that really in the Vatican?
If it's a version of the Bible, it stands to reason.
They've got a copy of it, you think?
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Old Pope Frank is fluent in Klingon.
Yeah, they did have to go all the way to Kronos to get it.
He keeps a bat
fight to the death, but, you know, Klingon.
I don't think it's Pope Frank. I think it's Pope Benny speaks Klingon.
Pope Frank has got, his name's Frank, isn't it? Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Pope Francis has got a batlev under his cassock.
Yeah, but the one before Pope Frank was Pope Benny, remember?
He brings it out for all the tough congregations.
When they quit paying attention.
I'm just picturing a pope standing up in a cathedral. He's unhappy with the way the congregation is responding, and he whips out the batleth and yells, "Today is a good day to die," and slaughters the church.
No, just starts offing servers.
You gotta say, I will give £500 to a charity of his choice if Pope Francis comes out at the next deliverance of a speech to St. Peter's Cathedral, you know, to the square, and goes kapla.
The basilica.
Yeah, if he comes out and holds his hands out and goes kapla, I'll give £500 to a charity of his choice.
That's awesome.
That would be awesome. There you go, Frank. You got a bet. Does that mean I can call you and Queen Lizzie? You can call her what you like, mate. She's not. If I'm going to get knighted, mate, it ain't going to be by her. Right. Jeffrey, what did you bring for us, sir?
All right. I brought a robot story today. And no, this one isn't a sex robot. Big surprise.
Oh, thank God.
One star.
We were going to do Jeff Sex this week, but no.
Well, there's still an opportunity that we could come up with.
I'll do that stinger for next week.
You never know. And maybe I have something in store for later.
Oh, okay. For the cool thing. I'm going to cue the music.
Yeah. So you still may have an opportunity to use the music.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is a story that I found on BBC News, and it's about a group at Carnegie Mellon University that developed this robot that Elon Musk is going to send to the moon, and then you use an Oculus Rift to control the robot from Earth, wow. And so you can actually drive this robot around on the moon and see what it's seeing.
How much is that going to cost?
Well, it's at least $30 million because that's what these people won for, as part of their proposal. So, but to actually use it yourself, I'm assuming that this will be something that's available like through schools and other institutions where you as the end user won't be paying for it, and that it's going to be getting funding from somewhere else. So that this can be used for legit educational purposes. And I'm assuming probably for some research as well.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So I just dropped you a link in Skype, Ewan, so that you can share that sense.
That's very kind, except today. Your Skype is on a completely different machine from the one that does the broadcasting anyway. So.
Oh, well, then I'm going to send this over to Kelly, and then Kelly, you can share it.
Chat room, okay. Chat room only, yeah. Sounds really cool. But I mean, there's a certain element. If you own an Oculus Rift, if you could pay for airtime to go on, that would be awesome.
You know, if I could do that, then I would... I would drive the rover around to spell words so that the satellites that are orbiting the moon will see whatever it is that I wrote.
Draw a penis like they did with the Mars rover.
Just no, that's old hat. We've already done that on Mars.
We've already done that on Mars. So, I mean, what's the delay as well? Because the thing I would think is there's a possibility that you could be inputting controls from your Oculus Rift and actually not see the edge of the crater, which is coming upon you.
That would be an issue.
I don't know what the delay is, whether it's like a 3-minute delay or something, or and it's 20 minutes to Mars, but it's a lot further.
Well, it's I think it's 8 seconds to the moon.
Oh, okay. So that's not too bad then.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And this is actually going to be on its way to the moon by the end of next year. That's what the plan is. They're going to send it on a Falcon X rocket to the moon.
Based on the lip sync that goes out on this show most weeks, some people are probably thinking that you lot are broadcasting from the moon. We haven't done well in recent weeks, I have to say. Bugger. I mean, if Elon's behind it, then it's got to be good because he's the man he's the only man that's going to produce a series of cars that have got STD in their name. So
that's true.
He can't be all bad. I think he's missing the trick here, though. I think he could sell, you know, $1,000 for 3 minutes of driving this buggy around would be awesome. But having said that, he is going to get some dickheads who are going to try and drive it like they're going Baja. So
isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Well, exactly. I probably
drive it like you stole it.
I've got a 30 million rover on the moon that some dickheads let me have for 3 minutes. Where am I going to go with it?
Oh, geez. Let me do a 3-point turn.
See if I can get it to catch some wind.
Let me look for some air.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see what this thing really can do.
Did you build a roll bar into this?
As it's tumbling.
Oh, excellent.
This was great.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the Network Union. They're fantastic. They sponsor us. They sponsor the Patreon fund quite well as well. And if you've got MPLS, WAN, SIPs, any of that kind of stuff, then you need to check these guys out because they can do you a massive, massive favor and really optimize it for your use for your company. If you've got that, then you'll know who they are. You can submit it through britishtelnetwork.com/sponsors and get support from them. If you're a small to medium enterprise, you can sign up with these guys. They will give you an awful lot of help to get your system up and running and get it sweet as a nut within your own relationship with BT. Nothing's going to change. You're still going to pay everything to BT like you normally do, but you get an extra layer of support that comes in the middle. That is the Network Union. And if you're a consultant, and I'm sure there's an awful lot of you that listen to this show and the Mac Show, and you can just put the Network Union forwards as an option for the people that are running the network, the decision makers, if you like, then please, you don't have to, if you can send the name to Network Union as a lead, then fantastic. You get yourself a ton of kudos and you get us some kudos as well. But even if you can just write to the Network Union and say, look, I was at this company this week. I put your name forwards. I think you should give some credit back because I got it from the British Tech Network. Then that would be enough for us. Thank you ever so much if you could do that. They're wonderful. And also UK2, they give us all our bandwidth and server space and all that kind of stuff. Every show we've ever had has gone right the way back to the start of the network is on there. Me and Paul Wheatley were having a discussion about something last week about on one of the shows. I can't remember which one it was, but we ended up going back and searching for it on the server, and it goes back 11 months, 12 months, and we found the episode and listened back to what we needed. That cool. And It's really awesome. And the other thing we want to say is, if you've been enjoying the news show, then please carry on enjoying the news show. But we do have a slight problem. Kyle Swagger does it, and he does a fantastic job every day. It's absolutely brilliant. The energy he brings to it is superb. It's far better than when I did it 3 years ago. It's got a new lease of life. But the problem is, Kyle is the voice of the NBA. So he gets a lot of work from NBA to do the pre-season stuff at the moment. It's pretty difficult for him. But come Wednesday, it starts in full swing, and he's stuffed a little bit then. So the problem we've got is, if we want to carry on getting Kyle to do the news show, we've got to replace some of the other work that he's got. And he's very kindly said he will put some slots aside in his voiceover schedule for us, but we need to pay for those slots, albeit at a reduced rate, but we need to pay for those slots. So in order to keep the news show going, we need to pay Kyle $250 a month, plain and simple. So if from the 1st of November, we will be paying Kyle $250 a month from the Patreon fund. And what I'm saying is, if you really, really enjoy the network and you really enjoy the shows that we bring, particularly if you enjoy the news show, then please, could you took us a bit extra in the Patreon fund to try and absorb some of the shock of that $250. Doesn't matter what you can put in, just anything that you can put in. This is not us begging. It's not us trying to extort money out of you. We are going to be losing $250 to Kyle to continue the news show going forward. So please, 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 if you can spare a few extra shekels in the Patreon fund, go to patreon.com/British Tech Network. Patreon is patreon.com/British Tech Network, and give us a little bit extra, and it would make a world of difference. It would keep the show running for definite. And I'd like to say thank you to Paul Wheatley as well. I've done it on Twitter, but I'll do it publicly now on the next two shows, for this and the Mac show. He has been working behind the scenes, and he's created a stats program for our server, and it analyzes all our stats. It looks at unique downloads, it looks at the quantity of completed downloads, and it looks at the split by month and by show quantities as well. So any single show, we can find out exactly how many downloads came from that show. And we were gobsmacked this week because we know we've been hitting in the couple of thousands for a lot of the shows for quite a while. But last month, we had over 200,000 downloads of shows off the network, and the Max show did 132,000 of those on its own, which was a bit of a shock because we didn't think it was that many. So that's 25,000 downloads per episode. That's unique downloads completed. So thanks to Paul for doing that. And also, if you've got a product that you want to sell, the Max show would be a good platform to try and sell it, it would seem. We've got an awful lot of stuff coming through, so thank you very much to Paul for doing that, and we'll publish some of the stats that we've got from some of the shows. We're about 12,000 per episode for the big show, and 25,000 for Mac, and the others kind of make up the rest of it at the moment. But we're expecting that figure to change quite a lot in October, because of course we've got the news show kicking in as well as. So thanks ever so much to everyone who's already donated on Patreon, but if you could spare a few more shekels, then please do. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Monsieur Ashley, would you like to kick us off?
You know I would. You know how I do it. I have one of the coolest things ever, and I think it flew under the radar when it first came out. And for Windows Phone, there's an awesome app that Microsoft came out with called the Office Lens. And I didn't really talk about it too much, and you know, it got some quick fanfare, but then it kind of just disappeared. But lately, what I've been trying to do is get away from using my gigantic scanner for scanning things. And periodically, if you have we have what's called a FSA, a federal savings account, where you can basically put money away pre-tax and then pay your medical bills with that. The thing is, sometimes you have to submit receipts for it, and you have to get the scanner involved and all that stuff. But the Office Lens is a pretty cool app, because what it allows you to do is use your phone as a scanner. But not only use your phone as a scanner, you can then you can also use it to scan whiteboards. So it you can change the mode of the phone and say you just want to scan a photo, you want to scan a whiteboard, or you want to scan a document. And particularly when you scan a document, after you scan it, the ability to really move the cropping right around the paper, it kind of bends at different angles, so you can really just get whatever it is you're scanning in very well. But the power that I really love in this is that you can save it directly to OneNote. And that is really cool for me, because I use OneNote very heavily. And so when I take a picture of something, and then you have the chance on the next screen to go ahead and edit it. But once you hit save, you can choose to hit the, first off, you can title it whatever you want, but then you can save it as a Word document to OneDrive. You can save it as a PowerPoint document to OneDrive, or you can save it directly into OneNote, in which case you can save it in your default notebook, or you can browse your different notebooks inside of OneNote and then choose where you specifically want to save it. And this has just completely changed the game for me on submitting receipts. So whether it be submitting expense reports or submitting receipts back to FSA, this Office app has been fantastic for me. So if you have a Windows phone, you definitely want to check out the Office Lens.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Fantastic. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, sir?
Well, I believe it's time for you to break out your music.
Oh, boom, chicka, wow, wow.
And what I will do is drop the link for this to Kelly, so that Kelly, please, if you don't mind, share it with the chat room. And what I found sticks with my robot theme for today. And it turns out there's a company called Tenga that is developing a virtual sex robot. And it's not available yet, but they have prototypes out. The company's motto is, "We're the future of masturbation." So they have this system where it has, let's call it a joystick, that you control, by pushing her crotch up against it. And then with these VR goggles that you're wearing, then you see a simulation of whatever your sexual fantasy is supposed to be. And yeah, there you go. I just found you, a new sex robot that's under development.
Underdeveloped seems to be the word.
Yeah, and if you watch the little video that's in the link that
this is the motherboard link. There's an Oculus Rift version as well.
Oh, well, there you go. Then it's going to be a success. Now, use this with the robot that's going to the moon and you can have space sex.
No, apparently you can't have sex in space.
Well, then they haven't tried hard enough, have they?
No, I read this and they were talking about one of the problems that they have is that you can't have sex in space because you require a certain amount of gravity to clear the pipes afterwards. It's men. Men's caused the problems. They've done some tests with plants, apparently. And you can't clear the tubes. There we go.
So you can ejaculate, but you're not actually sending your soldiers a marching.
You can send your spaceman skyward, but after the initial, there's no dripping, if you know what I mean. That's the point. And it just stays
so
there.
So you can have sex, it's just not nearly as effective.
No, you actually cause yourself harm by, if you're a male, you cause yourself harm by having sex because you can't clear everything out.
Okay, so now here's the next thing that we need to develop, which is a device that you and your sex partner climb into, and it creates a form of artificial gravity while you're having sex.
Well, you just use suction, I presume.
Or suction. There you go. Now, problem solved.
I don't know whether Kelly's fallen asleep or whether she's lost connection with the internet. But she's gone as well now. So it was her pick and now she's gone. Bugger. Well, the chat room is chipping in. Ha ha, clear the pipes. we may have a title, Clearing My Pipes. There we go. Where's the sodding link, says Windrider, because he can't see it. You go to motherboard.vice.com and they've got Real Sex Virtual Reality Oculus Rift Tenga. Is the article that they've got on it. Bronwyn's written something down. I'm not sure whether she'll read it out, but she said, isn't that what sucking's for? But there you go. Not on purpose, but I'm not feeling too bad about missing it. Yikes, says Kelly in the chat room. So she's gone. I don't know whether we've pushed her away with that title or not, but
I'm guessing not. Oh, and by the way, right now we're having a solar eclipse.
Where? In Denver?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a visible, or it's visible across the United States, but it's visible.
Get the camera here and show us.
And from where I am, I can't actually see it happening, but I can see the color cast changing outside.
Oh, bugger, that would be so cool if we could see it. If anyone's in the US and they've got the Wi-Fi and they can come on Skype and show us, then do it. Do it. Kelly's not responding, so we've obviously pissed Kelly off immensely.
She's been having weird computer problems with Skype, so it's possible that her Mac just took a dirt nap.
I thought it was just overcast, says Mark Shepherd. No, dude, it's an eclipse. Get your Kansas ass out and get us some pictures and send them over.
Yeah, it's overcast with the moon.
Swamp Rat says, eclipse not visible here in northeast Louisiana. There's heavy cloud cover. It's just getting dark, obviously, then, so...
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's not visible in my house because I'll be inside playing my Xbox.
Yeah. I got Xbox One last week and I really enjoyed playing it.
I can't stop playing Destiny.
Well, I've been playing one of my cool things last week. My cool thing last week was Alien Isolation. And Sam and Chiz and Paul did a live playthrough of Alien Isolation on the Gamer Show on Monday night, And it is absolutely hilarious watching Chiz try and talk Sam and Paul through it, and Sam just effectively shit himself all the time as he was getting caught and skewered. But if you go to, we've got a video up on British Tech Live on YouTube. You can watch it there, and you can also watch it on the Gamer Show's feed, the video feed. But it is well worth watching because it is absolutely hilarious.
I'll check that out. My son came down and he's like, this game is legitimately scary.
Yeah. Well, I let Ellis have a go after school. He came in last week and he said, can I have a go with
you? You have an incoming call from Kelly.
There she is. My son came in from school and he said, can I have a go on Alien Isolation, Dad? I'm like, well, it is pretty scary, mate. He went, no, I'm all right. I'm fine. Okay. And he had a go with it. And the thing was, I took him, he was having a go at one of the levels. He never actually saw the alien at all. He didn't even see a whiff of the alien. Nothing. Not a thing. Not even heard it or anything like that. He just completed the level, got in the transit station and buggered off on the transit station. And he turned around and he was so scared, his lips were blue. And he never actually even saw the alien. So
wow.
Just the anticipation of it. Have a watch of the video. The video is superb. I was watching live on Monday night, and it was hilarious watching the three of them try and play it. Because Chiz had played it quite a lot. It was Chiz's game on his PC. But Sam and Paul had to play as well. I've been playing Sniper Elite 3 this week as well, so that's been really good. But my pick is Xbox One. I should have bought it months ago. But it absolutely is amazing. What a great console. And I've got a Venom rechargey station thing for the controllers, so they're all wireless. Nice. And it's good. Xbox One, most definitely. Kelly, what was your cool thing?
My cool thing is the latest iteration of one of my favorite Mac apps, and that is BB Edit. And the reason BB Edit is awesome is, okay, well, to go with their slogan, it doesn't suck. And I've been a fan of BB Edit for a long, long time. They used to have a program, because you can open any sort of text and it's got nice color formatting for whatever sort of formatting you're doing. So I know a lot of people who use BB Edit as the place where they write all their code. Jeff uses it for writing all his pieces for Mac Observer. So it shows all that, all the HTML sort of formatting. People use it for NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, which is coming soon. And there's a lot to it as far as a text editor goes. It's a super, super powerful text editor. And the new version is version 11 that just came out. And many years ago, if you used BB Edit to create a web page and then you sent them a link to your web page, they would send you a t-shirt. And I know because I was one of the people who emailed them and they actually sent me a t-shirt and I still have it. It's pretty awesome.
Excellent.
They're fantastic. The program is solid. And the great thing about it is that it does one thing well. It is meant to be a text editor, whatever sort of text that may be. Doesn't matter if it's code for an app or you're writing a giant text document or you write many smaller text documents, or whatever it is that you're trying to do, you can do all of that in BB Edit. And I think BB Edit is phenomenal. It's really solid. It's on version 11. They've been around for a really long time. It was maybe 1997 when they sent me that t-shirt. So, and I think that was BB Edit 2 or 3. So it's not like they're going away. It's an actual program that will cost you money. It's actively being developed. It's a company that's been around for a long time, and I really enjoy it. So that's my pick.
Excellent. This is a good choice.
Nice.
I have no idea what Righty's pick is. It's probably Catherine.
It's probably a pillow.
I was going to say a feather pillow. Yeah.
If you're watching this, mate, on the rerun, then I hope you had a good night's kit, mate. You deserve it. You've had a tough week. I know you have. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Ashley?
You can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. If you're not following me yet, kick yourself in the shin. You can also find me. We record every single week on the funniest, realest, coolest podcast on earth. That is the SMR podcast. You're talking about three real friends get together and we could talk anything from tying shoelaces to, you know, a new smartwatch that may be coming out. It's just one of the funnest shows you'll ever listen to. So come check us out over at smrpodcast.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. I meant to say as well, what are you doing on the 6th of December? Because we've got a bash. We've got the Northern Bash where we're going to do the gamer show and we do the gamer show quiz and we're going to play a load of games. I'm going. It's on the 6th of December, £5 a ticket. Bring your own booze party. And we're going to order in a curry from the local curry house, which will be delivered. It goes from 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Saturday, the 6th of December. There's local guest houses and that kind of stuff. I've already booked mine. And if you want to come and get a ride from Birmingham up there, then all you've got to do is get yourself to my place for sort of 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and I'll drive us the rest of the way. We've got one spot left in the car, so come and give it a shout. It should be good fun. Good fun. The guys up there are excellent. Sam Chiz and Paul will be there and a few others, so it should be a load of fun. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
Well, I'm hiding out over at the Mac Observer, so macobserver.com, and on Twitter, Jay Gamut, and on a bunch of other podcasts like Mac Observer's Daily Observations, Apple Context Machine, the iOS Show here, and then also at Fresh Brew Tales, where I share all the wonderful and ridiculous things that I see people doing in coffee shops.
You run the risk of getting tasered in Starbucks just so you can bring us that. I think it's
that's honorable. How much I love you guys.
It's honorable, mate. Honorable. And last, but my name is Lee. Before a connection craps out, Kelly G, where are you?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me hanging out at the Mac Observer. And you can hear another podcast that I do with Mike Rose over from the unofficial Apple weblog called The After Show at aftershowpodcast.com and also in iTunes.
I didn't realize Mike followed me on Twitter. He sent me a message today, so I followed him back because I'm all about the conversation. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, EwenRankin. And I'm all about the following the conversation. So if you tweet me and you say a few words and we exchange a few things, then I'll follow you back for definite because I want to talk to people. But I'm not into the follow back wankers. We'll be back again. We won't be back again next week. There is no big show next week because I'm not around. I got work. And there's no Mac show next week either. But we'll have Mac show tomorrow at 3 p.m. as normal. And all the crew will be there. See you again soon. Thanks for listening.